Amen. So read your Bible every day. Calvary Chapels, we are a Calvary Chapel. We're called North Country Chapel. But we are a Calvary Chapel affiliate. And Calvary Chapels are accused of worshiping the Bible. I don't know if you've heard that one. No. As a matter of fact, if this got stolen or burned or lost or if it ever got old, I could get another one. There's nothing magical about this one. I can get another one. It's God's Word that's important. See, God said these things. God wanted you to hear this. This book is God's love letter to His people. I'm sure you've heard the old story of the student in college, the professor. And this is common. The professor did not believe in God, didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. And at one point, the professor says to his students at the beginning of the year, how many of you, they're in a philosophy class, how many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And about five or six raised their hands. And then he just went into a tirade. He just went off explaining how it couldn't possibly be, and you're a fool, and and for a good 15 to 20 minutes, he just ripped them up. And he said, now, how many of you still believe? Only one raised his hand. A little shy. He said, you mean to tell me you believe the Bible? After I just showed you that it wasn't any good and that you can't understand it and that you can't and blah. And the young man stood up and said, yes, sir, I believe. See, the Bible is God's love letter to His children. And what I'd like to know in front of all these people is, what are you doing reading someone else's mail? You're not going to understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. You're not just going to grab the Bible and start to read it and get an amazing grasp of it. It's the Holy Spirit. So there's nothing magical about this book. But God has called us to stay in His Word, to listen to His Word. You'll see here in chapter 19. Remember, the children of Israel have now left Egypt. They're free. A little bit of complaining on the way. They're afraid they're not going to have food. They're afraid that they're not going to have water. They're afraid that the sun's not going to come up. They're just afraid. Now they're traveling, and in the third month, chapter 19, verse 1, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and they were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, the mount of God it was called. And the Lord called unto him, Moses, out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. This is what I want you to say to the children of Israel, to the house of Jacob. This is what I want you to tell them. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. When you come to the book of Judges, which we will soon, you'll read in the book of Judges, near the beginning, Joshua died because in Genesis chapter 3, we're told it's the way it's going to be. Death entered the world through the sin of Adam and Eve. And so Joshua died. He was old and he died. And the Bible then goes on to say, I'm going to paraphrase it because I haven't opened it there. The Bible goes on to say then that the generation near Joshua's age, or the younger ones who went through with him, they had got old and they died. So what was left was a generation who knew all the stories but didn't experience them. They heard about the parting of the Red Sea. They heard about the manna in the wilderness. They heard about the water coming out of the rock. But they heard those stories in Sunday school and they never experienced God. Not because they couldn't, but because they weren't interested. And they would say things like this, I've heard that story since I was a kid. My mom is always telling me how she was there. She was young herself, and she saw the Red Sea parted. My dad tells us how the water came out of the rock. I'm so sick of hearing that. I'm going to find another church. So there weren't too many in Israel. There weren't too many who didn't know the stories, but you'll find there weren't very many at all who had experienced God. Today, I think you see a parallel. There's a whole study you can do on living off the faith of somebody else, living off the blessings of somebody else. Somebody else goes to war, and God allows a victory, and then a nation is free, and people come along who didn't have to fight. Yeah, my dad told me about WWII. I remember. Yeah. Men of iron, ships of wooden. I remember. Rough. But see, people haven't experienced it. So you'll find this freedom's not that important to them. Yeah, I've heard all those stories. Yeah, that's cool. It's too bad. And you see a generation or two come along who know all the stories, but they haven't experienced. They don't know. They don't know God. And God says this, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians." Don't forget it. Every one of you that belongs to God, that is born again, truly saved, you have seen Him do works, miracles. You have seen changes in your own life. Of course, everybody may look at you and say, "You are the worst on the earth. You are a sinner. You are lower than dirt." And you can honestly look at them and say, "Ooh, you should have seen me before. Thank you for those compliments." You know, I want you to know something. All of us are sinners. All of us. Some of us sin respectfully. You still go to hell for that. But you know, some sins are what I call respectful sins. That's what the church accepts. A little lie here and there, it's a respectful sin. Cheat on your taxes. Then we've got sins that are big, big time bad. Now murder, come on. You know, that's bad. Of course, you know, the sins, they change roles. Now child abuse, that's gone way up. I mean, that's bad. Do you notice how we ourselves have levels of what we call, well, yeah. But God says sin, all sin, is an abomination to Him, all sin. So just when I get angry with my brother for no reason, that's an abomination to the Lord. And His Holy Spirit is saying to me, you, if I'm His son, if you're His daughter, don't forget what you have seen God do in your own life. Oh, maybe you and I are the worst. Maybe we're so far from what we need to be that everybody looks at us and just, they can't believe us. Dirtball, you. But you know something? If you're truly born again, every one of you can say, "God changed me. He has changed me. I am different than I was before." And remember that you yourself, this is not to give you an opportunity to sin, don't sin, but just remember you yourself are a servant of the Most High. And in Romans we read, He is able to make you stand. You yourself will stand on that day in Jesus Christ, no matter how the rest of the world sees you. Your family, your friends, the people you work with, no matter how they see you, you'll stand if you belong to Jesus Christ. Trust Him. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You have seen how I bear you on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself. I came and I got you. I heard your cry. You remember what I did to the Egyptians. I bear you on eagle's wings. Earlier on in our study, we talked about how an eagle trains her little one to fly. Shove him out of the nest, and as he's flipping and flopping and upside down and tail first and all, then the mother comes along down under and on eagle's wings, just catches the little one and flies. No pressure. The wind takes them both. And God says, that's how I have carried you out of Egypt. You were falling and flitting and screaming, and you can imagine. Well, imagine how we do complain. There's no water, there's no food, there's no towels, there's no paper. And God comes along and boom. Now we're soaring like an eagle again. He says, I just bear you on eagle's wings. And then he turns. Okay. And then he comes and gets us again. And that's what he did to Israel. He said, you saw what I did to the Egyptians. You saw how I carried you like an eagle carries her young, on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus, that's what you'd call a metaphor, metaphorically speaking. And Jesus says something about a bird too, about a chicken. If you're wondering where the Bible says something about a chicken, there's a spot in the Gospels where Jesus says to Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how long I wanted to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks, her brood. I wanted to keep you safe under my wings. Now the other way, he says, I carried you on eagle's wings. Now I'm saying, I wanted to protect you under the wings, under like a mother hen. But he goes on to say, but you would not. It's not that I tried and I decided, well, you're no good. I wanted all of you. I tried to get all of you. But you would not. You chose no. The Bible says, I think it's Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Just like a hen would protect her little brood, God wants to protect you. Aren't we cool? We're under the shadow of the Almighty, and we stick our foot out, and there's light on it. I'm out of the shadow, and nothing happened to it. So I stick my head out, clack! Oh, excuse me, whack! Satan smashes my head, because I stuck it out from under the shadow. How many of you experienced it? And I think, I get back, whoa, man, that, woohoo! I'm going to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. Then I think, I don't know, it's not real bad. Out of here, see? How many of you are doing it now? Just see if you can get a little bit out from it. Oh, God doesn't mind if I... And you just get on out there and then crash. And you don't know why life's so hard. Oh, this Christian walk is... Stay where you belong. You saw how what I did to the Egyptians. And you saw how I bear you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Now, therefore, when you see therefore in your Bible, look and see what it's there for. Therefore, because of what I just told you, because you saw what I did, you've seen what I've done in your life, how I have cared for you, because of that now, if you will obey my voice indeed, and that's talking about the way you do it, and keep my covenant, verse 5, we're in verse 5, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Now I own all people. All of them aren't my children, God says. But I own them all, I can do. I am God. There's coming a time when I will separate the sheep from the goats. There is coming a time when you must be hidden under the shadow, or you will suffer destruction and eternal punishment forever and ever. Eternal is always. It doesn't end. So, if you will obey my voice, indeed, keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Not just Aaron's descendants, but all of you that are Jewish, all of you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You will be peculiar. You will stand out in a crowd. You will be different. You belong to me. Although I created everybody, you are special to me. The King of Priests and Holy Nation, these are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. Moses, that's exactly what I want you to say to the children of Israel. Go and tell them that. That should bless them. That should get them excited. That should lay any fear to rest that they would ever have walking through this wilderness. I showed you already that I am God. I have carried you. All you need to do is follow me and obey. Moses told the people. He came and he called for the elders of the people in verse 7, and he laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. He just told them. They told the people. And all the people answered together. And the people unanimously, that's what this means, the language, said this. All, did you hear that? And the word of the Hebrew here, translated all in our language, means all. And how much is all? Go ahead, say it. All. It's pretty easy to grasp once you start thinking about it. All the people answered together unanimously. And they said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses return the words of the people unto the Lord. Now the Lord heard them, but you see, we have a mediator between God and man. Moses. And so Moses goes back up the mountain to the presence of the Lord and says, they said, this is what they said, I'm repeating, we will do everything you tell us. And Moses wasn't laughing, we are. Isn't that what your Bible says? It does, unless you've got a strange Bible. Your Bible says that. Maybe a few different words, but the meaning shouldn't be damaged. And the meaning of that scripture should say, the people said, everything you tell us to do, we will do it. All that you command, we will do it. Now, come on, let's admit it. We're in trouble once we make a promise like that, aren't we? Are you? Oh, yes, you are. Sure you are. Did you hang out with you most of the afternoon? And don't raise your hand. Did you do anything that might have been against what he wanted you to do? Oh yes, you probably did. There's nothing personal. It's not that we don't like you. It's just that we know your type. We're your type. Every one of you thinks everybody else is better than you, unless you're really off somewhere. Inside, you're thinking, man, I'm blowing it big time. Well, everybody else isn't blowing it. Oh yeah, they are. Sure they are. So the next time you see somebody that has blown it, man, I think wisdom is I wouldn't look at them and say, whoa, 20 years ago you blew it, huh? No, man, yesterday I blew it. Matter of fact, this morning, matter of fact, I'm blowing it now. I'm starting to get mad at you. Don't you understand that we're in trouble when we start to say, I'll do everything you tell me to do? Well, okay, fine. The Lord said to Moses in verse 9, look, or lo, I come to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you. God's going to let the people hear him talk. Don't you wish you'd have been there? They will hear when I speak to you and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So God says, Moses, I'm going to come down upon the mountain. You know, the false gods of Egypt all lived around the mountains. God didn't live around the mountain. You'll notice in Scripture over and over, His presence comes down to the mountain. From where? From heaven, wherever that is. He doesn't live on a mountain somewhere. in the Andes where it's really cold, and you see he's up there with long beard, and he's really pale and puny, and all he is really basically bones with skins on it, and he just sits in a weird position because basically it's too cold and he can't move, and that's what people think God is. No, you see, he's not there. Don't go look. He is not there. God sits on the throne in heaven. He is almighty. He is in absolute control. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. Nothing gets past him. Nothing gets over him or around him or under him. He is God. And he says, I will come down to you. You walk on up the mountain. I'll come down to the mountain here. And I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to be in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may believe forever. How long will the people believe once they hear God speak? How long will they believe? Well, forever. Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And so the Lord said this unto Moses, go to the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So it's a laundry day. Be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount Sinai. Come down onto the mountain. He doesn't live on the mountain. He lives in heaven. He's going to condescend. He's going to humble himself and come down here. It's going to be in a thick cloud. You won't be able to see him because no man shall see God and live. So I'll come down, and he says, make sure the people sanctify themselves, wash their clothes. 3 days they need to sanctify themselves. I'll come down in the sight of all the people, Mount Sinai. And you shall set boundary unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever will touch the mountain shall be put to death for sure. God says, when I come down to the top of the mountain, when I come down to the mountaintop, set a boundary around the mountain so that nobody touches the mountain. Because even just touching the mountain with your finger, you'll die. What's he trying to teach them? Easy. You are not holy enough, even in your cleanest clothes, to get near God. And you must understand he is that holy. He is so majestic and powerful. And he cannot be near sin. You cannot come near even the mountain that he is near, or you will die. So tell the people that, Moses. Why is God coming down? Now God is going to speak out loud. Out loud. And all of the children of Israel, all of them are going to hear God's voice. Out of this thick cloud, they can't see. There will be lightnings. There will be thunder. The ground's going to shake like an earthquake. And God's going to speak. And everyone in the nation is going to hear him. You won't forget that for a while, will you? They'll forget it in about a week. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. God Almighty talking. Why does he want the people to hear him? He said, because I want the people to believe you, Moses, forever. I want the people to know you are my chosen one. And so God's not going to talk to the people. This is kind of interesting. God's going to talk to Moses, but he's going to let everybody hear him. So everybody's going to say, Moses asked God what time it is. God's going to answer, and everybody goes, I heard him tell you what time it is. I heard it with my own ear. Now the trouble is, those people are going to hear this, and they're going to die someday. And because their kids didn't take it seriously, their children are going to know that God spoke, but their kids didn't hear it. Nothing happens in their hearts to bring them to life, so they're a generation who disobeys God because they only knew the stories. They never experienced God for real. Once again, what we need today is to be teaching the children what the Word of God says, to be living it so they can see it, and to be making sure that their lives also reflect it, so they begin to not just know ginosko, not just to know it in their head, but also to know it in their hearts, experiential. I have walked with God. What did Mary say? I'll paraphrase. He's alive. I have seen him this day. I have walked with him. I talked with him. And when he called me by my name, I knew who he was. It's him. Not only do I know in my head, but in my heart, I've experienced it. Jesus is alive. You should all be able to say the same thing. I've never seen him, but he has done something in my life, and I know the rest of my life he is, he lives. There is no doubt, no one could ever convince me. I have seen his hand at work. I've seen what he does. I've trusted him, simple trust, and he never let me down. And he still today shows me he's around. I asked God just a couple of days ago. Sitting in my office, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I do not know what to do. But I know that you have an answer. Tell me what to do. Do you know what happened? A woman drove in and brought something for me. And it was exactly what I was praying about. God does that to me all the time. Not every day. And I know He does it to you too. So the very thing I wanted to know, someone hands me something, I'm sitting in my office and I'm going, Lord, I didn't even have to wait 10 minutes for this. I know now that this is from you. He does it. You'll never tell me he's not real because he is working in your life all the time. He's changed your heart. You once were blind and now you see. You can be telling people that. And God says, I want them, Moses, to hear me talk to you so that they will know that you are mine. Because times are going to get tough. So Moses, see, God knows something Moses doesn't know. You've been going just a few months, Moses, but it's going to be 40 years. I already know. And there are going to be times when your leadership is going to come into question. I want the people now to hear me so they'll remember this forever. And so that's what happens. Get ready for 3 days. Listen, everyone, you prepare your heart and you prepare your body and you prepare everything around you for 3 days to see God. Or, I'm sorry, to hear him. You're just going to see the cloud and lightning and thunder. You'll hear the thunder. I suppose you won't see it. Who knows? There shall not, verse 13, a hand touch the mountain, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through with an arrow. Whether it be beast, in other words, animal or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. There's a boundary going to be set when you hear the long ram's horn trumpet blow. You come up to the boundary. Don't come any closer and don't touch the mountain. That's how serious, that's how solemn this occasion is. I don't know what I'd do. Man, I'd be so thrilled to be there. I get so hyped up anyway. I don't know if I'd touch the mountain because I'd want to be getting close and leaning as far over as I could and trying to see up in there. I know that's the way I am. Now, you guys aren't that way. You go, oh, it's God. Oh, cool. Not me, man. I'd be going, whoa, Moses, what does he look like? Can you, Mo? I'd want to know. You guys aren't that way, huh? Moses went down from the mountain to the people, verse 14, and he sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready against the third day. Come not unto your wives. Those that were married needed to not have sexual relations for these 3 days. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders, lightnings, and a thick cloud came down upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp shook. They were scared. They trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. 3 days they had to prepare themselves. 3 days. They had to make sure their clothes were clean. They had to make sure everything was right. They had to, this gave them a chance to get their head together, to get their heart together, get rid of some lousy attitudes, get rid of some moaning, get rid of some complaining. Get yourself ready to listen to God. He's going to speak out loud. Get yourself ready. And if you touch the mountain, cancel Christmas. You will die. Moses brings the people out of the camp, verse 17, to meet with God, and they stood near the mountain, at the boundary. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, meaning a huge cloud of smoke covering it, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain shook greatly. The mountain itself shook like an earthquake. Now there's a neat place to be, but you're not touching the mountain. You're right up to the boundary looking at this and listening to this and scared. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, verse 19, Moses spoke, you hear that? And God answered by a voice. Everyone in Israel heard God speak. Wouldn't that be cool? I kind of get frustrated at the Israelites. I'm just like them, but they're dead now, and those guys. And so I kind of get frustrated at them because I'm going to get ahead of myself. In the next chapter, it's so scary, they ask it to never happen again. Moses, we don't even ever want this to happen again. Man, we don't ever want to hear God. We heard Him. We believe He talks to you. We don't ever want that anymore. And I keep thinking, oh, man. Just think today, maybe if God was still them. But no, them wimpo Israelites. Now He's not going to do it anymore. And I said, don't you worry. I'm making a point. It's okay. Well, God answered him by a voice, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went on up. The Lord said to Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Go down there, Moses, because they're going to break through, they're going to touch the mountain, they're going to die. You better get down there. Let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. For you charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Moses is so silly, isn't he? He's in the presence of God. Now you don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. That's why He's called God. And get that through your head, some of you. You just don't order Him around or explain to Him how it works. He knows how it works. He made it, whatever it is. And God says, Moses, go down. Moses just got up here. Now that's kind of a trip, and Moses isn't as young as he used to be. He's over 80 years old, and he comes all the way up to Mount Sinai. Now that's kind of a trip for a guy like that. And God says, you know, Mo, you better get back down, or the people will cross the boundary and they'll die. Anybody that touches it, I'm serious, they'll die. Moses goes, oh God, you'd have to work. We set boundaries, remember? They won't cross them. What does God say? The Lord said to Moses, away, you better get down now. And you come up, you and Aaron with you by yourselves. But don't let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest He break forth upon them. God is saying, I know their hearts. They're down there right now, ready to cross that barrier and step onto this mountain. And they're going to die. Moses, quit fighting with me. Get down there and stop it. Those people's hearts, what did they just say just 3 days ago? Anything He tells us to do, we'll do it. Okay, we'll put a boundary. Don't cross this boundary. Haven't even given you the commandments yet. Just don't cross this boundary or you'll die. Go down there and get Bob. He's crossing it. You better hurry, Moses, or he's going to die. I don't want him to die, but he will die. Go stop him. Moses goes, oh, Lord, you don't know those people like I do. They won't go. We put boundaries up. You think, oh, Moses. And God says, get moving, Moses. They're about to cross the boundary. So Moses went down unto the people. And he spoke unto them. What he had to tell them. Get back. Don't touch the mountain or you'll die. God is serious. You know something? Right before we share communion, we finish the chapter. You say, so what? This is the Old Testament. They had to prepare 3 days. They had to wash their clothes and prepare 3 days. Stay away from certain things, do certain things, 3 days before they could even come near the mountain to stand at the boundary close to the mountain. I mean, not in the presence of God, but close to where God is. And you get too close, you'll die. And I want you to know, before we share communion together, that some of you still live that kind of walk with your Father. And I'd like to read to you a scripture out of Hebrews that shows you a little different way . You see, God is holy. And there's no way to enter into the presence of a holy God. There is no way, not humanly speaking. But God Himself provided a way. I'm going to look up Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, listen, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You're told in Jesus Christ, not only can you touch the mountain, you can come into the cloud. You can come into the Holy of Holies, right to the throne of grace, right where God Himself in heaven sits in the Holy of Holies on the throne. We are told that we in Jesus Christ can come into His presence. And some of you don't understand that still to this day. You still think that you've got to prepare 3 days to meet with the Lord. Sometimes I listen to people pray, and it's kind of sad because they don't think they've got the freedom to just begin to pray. They think they have to wait a certain period before they can speak. And Jesus Christ, when He died, the veil was torn to the Holy of Holies. It was 4 inches thick, and it was torn from the top to the bottom. The veil was torn open so that you, in Jesus Christ, could come into the Holy of Holies, right into the presence of God, and you wouldn't die. But you see, under the old covenant, God was holy, and the only ones that could be in His presence needed to be righteous. In the new covenant, Jesus shed His blood and paid the price for every one of us freely, that you could enter into the presence of the Lord. Enter into the throne room of grace. Enter into God's throne room that you may find grace or mercy in a time of need. Teaching us that we don't have to tremble. We want a reverence, we want a fear. Yes, we do want to pay attention to what we're all about. But you see, it's in Jesus Christ. Now, the old covenant was the law. You're going to see it. We'll begin a study of the law the next time we get together. But the old covenant was of the law. The new covenant, when we share communion together, Jesus says, this is the new covenant. I've paid the price. You can enter in. You don't need to wait any time period. You don't need to go and prepare yourself. You are born again if you've accepted Jesus Christ and can enter any second into the Holy of Holies, because your righteousness is of Him. It doesn't mean you haven't sinned. It means you've been cleansed and completely forgiven. You can bow at the presence of God right at His throne. You can ask God directly. You don't need Moses any longer. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus says, from now on, ask the Father in My name. We don't need Moses any longer. But you see, here, the old covenant. God is saying, this is how it will have to be. And every bit of this points to Jesus. Every bit of it points to a work that you're going to see in the New Testament. Every bit of it will show you how God is going to take care of it. How is it possible that Moses could go into the presence in that cloud, but everybody else couldn't? Moses was righteous by faith. The people saying, we'll keep your rules. What's going to happen, I think, you'll see as we study the rest of the law, what's going to happen is the people are going to slowly learn they can't keep the rules. The rules, the law, shows you your need for a Savior. If you've broken the law, the penalty is death. How do you get out from death? You don't. someone dies in your place. And the debt is paid. When we share communion and you see how God was dealing with these people, you want to remember the throne of grace, Hebrews chapter 4. You want to remember what you and I are like. What are we like? God says, don't cross this boundary. Hurry down there, Moses. They're going to cross the boundary. Moses, no, they wouldn't. We set up a boundary. We told them not to. Not good enough. I know their hearts. Go down there. I don't want them to die. Moses had to run back down to stop the people from doing the very thing that God said don't do. And had I been there, I'd have been one of them looking for ways to get across. If I can get a little closer, maybe sliding the barrier just a little farther forward. You know how we do that in parades and stuff? Just slide, no one's looking, slide it forward. Pretty soon you're 6 feet out there and the rest of the barrier is back here. People don't know how you did that. You don't have to. Now, you do not have to. We're going to share communion together. Jesus paid the price. What allows you and I to enter into the Holy of Holies now, to have communion with God the Father and God the Son, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His shed blood.